Welcome to the deep dive. You're here, I imagine, because you want clear insights into finance without wading through endless jargon. Today, we're really zoning in on tax-aware hedge fund strategies. The big question is, are they a real plus for savvy investors or maybe just, you know, overly complex?
That really is the million-dollar question, isn't it? We're digging into a paper today by Manesh Shamhag called Are HF Loss Harvesting Strategies Better? Think of it as our guide to separating, let's say, the hype from the actual substance of these strategies.
Right.
Our goal here is to give you a solid feel for their long-term value and, well, how they really stack up.
Exactly. So our mission today, cut through the marketing spin, understand if there's a genuine edge here, especially when you think about core investing principles. Where do we start?
Let's kick off with something fundamental. The power, the real value of delaying taxes on your investments. Tax deferral. It's a concept, actually, that your firm covered back in, a 2018 white paper on tax loss harvesting.
That's right, yeah. And the basic idea is, well, it's simple, but pretty potent. Money you don't pay in taxes today keeps working for you. It's often described as, like, an interest-free loan from the government, right? Allowing your investments to compound more effectively.
Precisely. And the paper illustrates this well. Imagine you invest $100. It grows at 10% a year. After just 1 year, if you cash out and pay, say, 20% tax on that gain, your after-tax return is 8%. Simple enough.
Okay.
But if you hold that same investment for 30 years, then pay the 20% tax, your annualized after-tax return climbs to 9.2%.
Wow. Okay.
That difference, that growing gap, purely comes from deferring the tax payment. It shows the real muscle of deferral over longer periods.
Yeah, it really highlights how compounding gets turbocharged when taxes aren't taking an immediate slice. And critically, listeners should remember, this basic benefit isn't unique to these fancy hedge fund strategies. Just holding on to index funds or individual stocks long-term gives you that same fundamental tax deferral until you sell.
That's a crucial baseline. So when we look at these tax-aware hedge funds, which, let's be clear, often carry higher fees, we need some kind of benchmark.
Yeah.
We need to know if the extra tax tricks they might offer are actually worth paying for.
Okay, so that brings us to this idea of our hurdle rate for the fees. Can you unpack that a bit?
Yeah, the paper puts it like this. Let's say tax deferral alone adds maybe 0.6% to your annualized return over 10 years, just hypothetically.
Right.
Well, if a taxware fund charges fees higher than that 0.6%, then those fees are starting to eat into or even completely wipe out the benefit you'd get just from deferral itself. And that's assuming the fund doesn't even outperform the market, no alpha. It gives you a threshold.
That makes sense. It's a clear way to frame the cost versus the basic tax benefit. Okay, so we've got the value of deferral and this hurdle rate idea. Now let's dive into how these specific funds claim to offer, you know, potentially better tax advantages.
Right. The main mechanism they use, their edge, supposedly, comes from using long-short strategies. Now, traditional tax loss harvesting, like in that earlier paper, usually means selling losing long position stocks you own that went down. Hedge funds using long short, they have more tools. They hold longs, betting prices go up, and shorts, betting prices go down.
Right. They can short stocks. So how does being able to play both sides translate into potential tax benefits?
Well, the paper points out three main potential advantages here. First is increased loss realization.
Yeah.
Because they could sell losers on the long side and losers on the short side, which means a short position that actually increased in value, creating a loss when they close it out.
Okay, got it.
They can potentially generate just a larger volume of losses. Mm-hmm. And often these might be short-term losses, which can be particularly useful.
More losses generated means more potential to offset gains elsewhere. Makes sense. What's the second advantage?
Second is loss realization in rising and falling markets. You know, if you're just long only, it's hard to find losses to harvest when the market's just going straight up.
Sure.
Have a long short fund? They could be realizing losses on their short book, even if the overall market is booming. And conversely, they can harvest losses from their long book if the market turns down. It gives them more flexibility, regardless of market direction.
That adaptability, yeah, that sounds pretty useful across different market weather. And the third one, this potentially perpetual loss realization sounds almost too good to be true.
Huh. Well, it's a bit more theoretical, and it hinges on using leverage, especially in short selling. The idea basically is that if the fund's overall portfolio grows, their capacity to borrow might also increase.
Mm-hmm.
This could let them put on more short positions. So in theory, you could get this continuous cycle of generating losses over time. As the fund gets bigger, they can theoretically scale up the loss generation. But important caveat, this obviously comes with increased risk from the leverage itself.
right? Leverage cuts both ways. Okay, so that paints a picture of potentially a pretty powerful loss-generating engine. But the paper doesn't stop there. It flags some big buts around investment performance alpha and, of course, fees. Let's talk investment risk first.
Absolutely critical. The paper really hammers this point. These are hedge funds. They aren't just index trackers with a tax overlay.
Right.
They might aim to beat the market, to generate that extra return, that alpha. But we all know consistently achieving alpha is, well, extremely difficult.
Understatement of the year, perhaps. Mm. So when you're looking at one of these funds, what should you really scrutinize regarding that investment risk?
The manager's track record is key. You need to look hard at how they've performed over the long haul, through different market ups and downs across whatever strategies they use.
Makes sense.
And maybe even more crucial, does the underlying investment strategy itself make sense to you? Do you believe in how they're trying to make money, separate from the tax angle? The tax benefits shouldn't be the main reason you invest if you're not comfortable with the core investment approach.
That's just fundamental investing 101, really. Investment thesis first, tax benefits second. Okay, now let's hit those fees. They tend to be higher, right?
They certainly do. Long-short hedge fund strategies just generally cost more than, say, an index fund or a standard mutual fund. The paper mentions seeing fees anywhere from maybe 0.4% a year up to 2.5%. That's a pretty wide range.
And a potentially hefty drag on returns, especially at the higher end. So how do these fees interact with those potential tax benefits we discussed?
It's pretty straightforward. For these strategies to really make sense, they generally have to outperform their benchmark by enough to cover those higher fees.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Otherwise,
the extra cost just eats up, or maybe even more than eats up, any tax advantage you might be getting. And the paper brings up another interesting point, a kind of lock-in effect.
Lock-in? How so?
Well, imagine the fund does generate really big tax losses for you early on. Great, right? But now selling your stake in that fund down the road could trigger a significant tax bill itself.
Ah, because you have a very low-cost basis now.
Exactly. So you might feel compelled to stay invested longer than you otherwise would, perhaps even if the fund's recent performance isn't great, just because of the tax consequences of getting out.
That's a really important practical consideration, that potential lack of flexibility. Okay, so pulling these threads together, performance, fees, lock-in, what's the paper's overall take on the value proposition here?
Well, there's definitely a healthy dose of skepticism about whether these funds can consistently deliver that superior investment performance, the alpha.
Right.
So the analysis kind of pivots. It suggests the main value they might offer really boils down to just generating those losses for tax deferral.
And the paper tries to quantify that, doesn't it? With those tables looking at the value of deferral under different conditions.
Yes, exactly. Two main tables. One uses a 20% tax rate, think standard long-term capital gains for most people currently. The other uses a 40% rate. That's meant to simulate a scenario where maybe more of your gains being offset are short-term taxed at higher rates.
Mm-hmm.
And within those tables, they shaded some areas green, trying to show where these strategies might add value, assuming fees are, say, 0.4% or more.
Okay, and what's the gist from looking at those shaded areas? What does the data suggest?
Generally, under that more common 20% tax rate scenario, you usually need a combination of decent investment returns and a pretty long deferral period, many years, for these strategies to really move the needle on your after-tax return, especially after factoring the fees.
So not necessarily a slam dunk for everyone. What about the 40% tax rate scenario? Does that make them look better, maybe for people with lots of short-term gains?
The value of deferral does look a bit stronger, particularly at lower return levels and shorter time horizons when you assume that higher 40% tax rate.
Yeah, okay.
But even then, the paper notes you often still need returns somewhere in the, say, 8-10% range or more, and you need to defer taxes for maybe 10-15 years. That's still a pretty long commitment for a lot of investors.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, remember that caveat the paper included. The U.S. tax code actually lets you use long-term losses to offset short-term gains.
Ah, right.
So that probably means the potential value shown in that 40% tax rate table is likely a bit overstated in reality.
That's a key detail about how the tax rules actually work. Okay, so maybe the broad appeal is limited, but the paper did highlight one specific area where these might really shine, right? This idea of converting short-term gains to long-term ones.
Yes, exactly. The paper calls this a potential niche application where these strategies could offer, you know, pretty substantial value. It's most relevant for investors who regularly generate a lot of short-term capital gains, which get taxed at those higher ordinary income rates.
Okay, walk us through how that works. How does the fund help convert those gains?
So the basic idea is this. The hedge fund focuses on generating short-term losses internally.
Right.
You, the investor, can then use those short-term losses passed through from the fund to directly offset short-term gains you might have from other investments in your portfolio.
Okay, so immediate tax savings at the higher rate.
Precisely. That reduces or maybe even eliminates your current tax bill on those gains. Meanwhile, the hope, the expectation, is that the fund's investment strategy is building up long-term unrealized gains within its own portfolio. So later on, when those gains inside the fund are eventually realized and passed through to you, they'd be taxed at the lower, more favorable long-term capital gains rates.
Got it. So you use the fund's short-term losses now against your high tax gains, and the fund hopefully grows assets that will be taxed at a lower rate later.
That's the mechanism. And the paper includes this table showing just how much this could potentially boost your after-tax returns in that specific situation.
Right, I remember seeing that. It compared the after-tax returns you'd get with a 40% versus a 20% tax rate.
Yes, across a range of pre-tax returns. And then, importantly, it calculated how much extra pre-tax return you'd need to earn without this strategy to end up with the same amount after taxes.
And those numbers were pretty significant.
They were. The paper showed that required extra pre-tax return could be anywhere from 2% to even 5% higher.
Wow. Okay, that definitely highlights a scenario where these strategies could look quite attractive, assuming the fund executes well.
Absolutely. It's a specific use case where the tax engineering might provide a quantifiable edge.
All right, so as we bring this deep dive to a close, what are the main takeaways we want listeners to walk away with?
Well, the paper keeps coming back to its caution about relying on consistent investment outperformance, the alpha.
Yeah.
It argues that's really what's needed to justify the higher fees and complexity.
Right.
And it's pretty explicit. For typical buy-and-hold investors, people generating mostly long-term gains anyway, these specific tax-aware hedge fund strategies probably don't offer much benefit.
And that core principle guiding investment decisions.
Ah, yes, the classic. Don't let the tax tail wag the investment dog.
Always worth repeating.
Make your investment choices based on solid principles and strategy first. Taxes are an important consideration, yes, but they should be secondary to the investment rationale itself.
Okay, so summing up, tax deferral. Definitely valuable, these long-short funds. They do have extra tools to generate losses, but the benefits can get eroded by fees. And finding funds that consistently outperform and manage taxes effectively is, well, tricky. The most compelling argument seems to be for that specific niche. Investors with frequent, large, short-term gains looking to convert them.
That sums it up well. So for you, the listener, when you're thinking about these, the key questions are really personal. What's your investment horizon? How often do you have significant short-term gains? And what's your tolerance for the higher fees and the investment risks inherent in hedge funds? Good questions to ponder. And maybe here's a final thought to chew on. In your specific financial picture, do these potential tax advantages offered by what are often complex and costly hedge fund structures truly outweigh maybe simpler, more traditional tax-efficient approaches combined with sound investment principles? What level of consistent outperformance would you really need to see to make adding these layers of complexity and cost worthwhile? Something to think about carefully. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.